Hey there. So the Trudeau government has announced a new piece of legislation, the Online Harms Act, which is currently being called Bill C-63. This new law is aimed at regulating a huge amount of online content. And in my view, the bill in its current form is full of really, really big problems. It's essentially aimed at censoring the internet, and it's going to be a disaster for free speech. I can't wait to tell you all about it. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Christine, and I'm the litigation director at a Canadian charity called the Canadian Constitution Foundation, which fights for fundamental freedoms in Canada. I upload regular videos about our ongoing legal cases and about other interesting developments in constitutional law in Canada. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, please hit like and subscribe below. It really helps my videos out a lot. Also, please remember, nothing in my videos is ever legal advice. If you have your own legal question or problem, please consult your own lawyer. Okay, so let's talk about Bill C-63, or the Online Harms Bill, what it is and what I think the problems are. So what you need to know is that there are really two main parts of the bill, or maybe I should say two distinct problems that the bill is trying to address. The first problem the bill is aimed at is child sexual abuse imagery, sometimes called child pornography, as well as the non-consensual release of intimate images, sometimes called revenge porn. And these are obviously really serious and terrible, horrible problems. Both are already illegal. The proposed bill would also apply to what are called deep fakes, so AI-generated fake images of people in compromising or abusive or explicit images. And the proposal in C-63 also creates new obligations for online platforms where images like this might be shared. So reporting around child pornography would be strengthened, making it mandatory for internet services to proactively report these images and remove them. It would also create a new, what's called Digital Safety Commission, where individual citizens can report this type of abusive imagery if they see it. Now, let's be clear. No one, including me, objects to high penalties and strengthened reporting obligations for terrible things like child sexual abuse imagery or revenge porn. This is awful. I believe in stiff penalties for child abusers and sexual criminals. I mean, I guess I'm a little surprised that this government, which isn't really known to be a tough on crime government, you know, it's a little surprising they suddenly want to be tough on sexual criminals. After all, this is the government that lowered sentences for violent repeat gun offenders and oversaw pedophile child serial killer Paul Bernardo being moved to a medium security prison. But, you know, if Trudeau suddenly wants to get tough on child abusers, okay, I'm here for it. But that's the point. The child abuse portions of the bill, which are entirely good and defensible, are really designed to inoculate the bill from criticism for the other things that it does. Because it's the second type of harm that Bill C-63 is aimed at that is a problem. This is what the government calls online hate. And Bill C-63, in addition to the stiffer penalties around sexual abuse, it also increases penalties for hate speech and creates a new standalone offense motivated by hatred as a new offense. So previously, a finding that a crime was motivated by hate could be considered an aggravating factor in sentencing. Now, an offense motivated by hatred is an entirely separate offense which can be charged and prosecuted by police and prosecutors. And these things, this online hate and child sexual abuse, really have nothing to do with one another. So it seems like a political choice that they are combined into the same piece of legislation. One of the other things the legislation does is increase penalties for the hate crime of advocating genocide, which was previously punishable by up to 5 years imprisonment. It now carries the possibility of life imprisonment. It also proposes that anyone who breaks any other federal law, quote, motivated by hate, be found guilty of a hate crime and subject to the maximum life sentence. So to be clear, that provision is not limited just to the criminal code. All federal statutes are included. So what exactly is hate speech? And we at the Canadian Constitution Foundation have been asked this repeatedly since this new law, Bill C-63, has been proposed. Where is the line between legal speech and hate speech? And the problem is, no one exactly knows. And that's what makes this law such a big threat to freedom of expression. My colleague Josh Shahaz has a great thread about this exact issue on X, which I will link to below, but I'll also summarize some of the high-level principles for you. In 2014, the Supreme Court said in a case called R. and Whatcott that hatred is only the most extreme manifestation of the emotion captured by the words detestation and vilification, and that only that type of speech can be outlawed without violating Section 2B of the Charter, which guarantees the right to freedom of expression. Whatcott says that this does not include expression which, quote, while repugnant and offensive, does not incite the level of abhorrence, delegitimization, and rejection that risks causing discrimination and other harmful effects. That speech is protected. And this notion is sort of actually built into Bill C-63. But how do we know if what we are seeing rises to the level of detestation or vilification? The case, Whatcott, tells us to look at what are referred to as the hallmarks of hatred. And this is where things get really, really dicey, because some of the hallmarks of hatred are things that people may say regularly and, frankly, should be allowed to say. And Josh gives a few examples in his thread. One hallmark of hatred is blaming a group's members for the current problems in society, alleging that this group is a, quote, powerful menace. So Josh points out that this could capture a lot of EDI training that we see. EDI or DEI consultants talk about white supremacy and white people being a menace in society, that feminists often talk about the patriarchy in these types of terms. Is that hate speech? Does that have the hallmarks of hatred? Even though I don't think that type of training is especially helpful for society or a good thing or a nice way to talk about people, I don't think we should be criminalizing DEI trainers. Another example Josh gives is hate speech, and this is from the Whatcott case, quote, further delegitimizes the targeted group by suggesting its members are illegal or unlawful. And Josh points out that we have seen a number of irregular border crossings, in particular in Quebec, and a lot of false asylum claims from, you know, certain countries being made. And if someone is to suggest that these people are illegal or unlawful, will that person be subject to a human rights complaint? I don't think that that is an outcome that we would want. Another hallmark of hatred is labeling a group as, quote, liars, cheats, criminals, and thugs, a parasitic race, or pure evil. And obviously, these are terrible things to say, but should people risk jail or fines for losing their temper for calling, for example, a religious group, an extreme religious group, for example, pure evil? I don't think that that would be a good outcome that we would want. For example, there is the very notorious Westboro Baptist Church, which is a U.S.-based, very, very hateful organization, a religious group. And if you just Google Westboro Baptist Church and the term pure evil, you will get a lot of hits back. There's a lot of people who view that particular religious group as pure evil. Now, that is a very, very awful group. If someone wants to call that group, that religious group, pure evil, should they be charged with hate speech? Now, before you come at me in the comments about attacking a church, I do encourage you to Google this particular church and see what the type of things they engage in. For example, picketing at the funerals of veterans with very hateful, terribly hateful signs. If someone were to say that that church, that religious group was pure evil under C-63 and the definition of hate speech, could that constitute online hate? I don't think that that is an outcome that we would want. This shows some of the problems with the entire notion of hate speech. It's categorically amorphous and just subjective, and it's unavoidably subjective. So what Bill C-63 does is adopt the Supreme Court's definition of hate speech from this case law, that case Whatcott, and a previous case called Keegstra, and describes hate speech as speech that's likely to foment detestation or vilification. But you know, these are really just synonyms for one another. Detestation is just another word for hate, and vilification is also a highly subjective concept. So my colleague Joanna Barron has written about this in The Hub, and she gave an example of this term TERF, trans exclusionary radical feminist. And she said, you know, if you're on the left wing of the political spectrum, calling someone a TERF could be seen as a form of vilification. But, you know, some people on the right call themselves TERFs as a badge of honor. Another example that's based on current events. Just last week, a columnist for the Toronto Star penned a column that was really awful and disgusting, defending Hamas as a legitimate governing force. And she was promptly called by many people on X or Twitter a terror apologist. Do the criticisms of this particular Toronto Star columnist rise to the level of hate speech? Is it vilifying this particular columnist? Or did the Toronto Star columnist actually, was she the one vilifying Jews and Israelis? It's all really in the eye of the beholder. And this is one of the dangers that lurks in this type of hate speech legislation. And look, obviously, there is a lot of disgusting content on the internet. There's a lot of racism, bigotry, homophobia, and hatred. But it's an inherently subjective exercise to identify what meets the standard in Whatcott, which is now being proposed to be codified in Bill C-63. It's hard for a lawyer like me, or like Josh or Joanna, who all study freedom of expression for a living, to know where the line is being drawn. And if it's hard for us, it's going to be even harder for regular Canadians. And I'll give you an example from my own life. Some Twitter user who doesn't like me has, after this legislation was proposed, this Twitter user has already said that I should be charged under the law, under Bill C-63, for online hate, because we at the Canadian Constitution Foundation have taken a case in Prince Edward Island defending a city councillor's right to freedom of expression. And this Twitter user doesn't like what this PEI city councillor has said. And because we are defending this councillor, we should be charged with hate speech. So this is where we are all going with this type of thing. As it stands right now, hate speech is only prosecuted in the criminal courts. And currently, the Crown needs to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the standard in Whatcott is met, that detestation vilification standard. And charges can only be laid in consultation with the Attorney General, who is an expert on the law. And that is why prosecutions are rare. But one thing that Bill C-63 proposes is not just increasing the penalties, but it also brings back a civil remedy for communicating alleged instances of hate speech in the form of reviving the Canadian Human Rights Act Section 13, which was removed because it had been infamously used against Maclean's magazine because it published a Mark Stein book excerpt. The credibility of the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal was really forever destroyed, or at least Section 13 was forever destroyed because of this abuse of the civil remedy. So Parliament had a whole commission look into this, and they quite rightly scrapped Section 13 more than a decade ago, this civil remedy. And now that this civil remedy is being reintroduced, the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal is going to expand to as many as 20 government-appointed bureaucrats who will be tasked with policing allegations of harmful speech online. And even if most alleged instances of hate speech are dismissed as not meeting the threshold, the penalties for individuals who are found liable, up to $50,000 paid to the government plus $20,000 to the victim, you know, these penalties are severe enough that we can just infer that the new regime is going to lead to large amounts of self-censorship by people who are afraid of crossing the line. We're also going to see more people punished for their speech, considering that this proposal and the Canadian Human Rights Act will create a civil offense that needs to be proved on a balance of probabilities, which is a lot easier to do than meet the criminal law's more stringent threshold of beyond a reasonable doubt. And I think one of the other things that we can expect to see is that this new bureaucracy is going to be absolutely inundated with frivolous complaints. There will be the ones that are investigated, where the process becomes the punishment. But there will also be huge numbers of complaints that the bureaucracy will just have to decline to investigate it. I gave that example of someone who wants me investigated because of a case that we've taken. Another thing that Bill C-63 is going to do is require social media platforms to, on their own, take steps to police their users. They will have this duty to act responsibly and minimize harm to users. They're going to be required to provide a mechanism for users to flag harmful content, which is defined as including speech that foments hatred. And if platforms don't comply with the bill's stipulations, the bill's requirements, are on the hook for $10 million in fines or 6% of global revenues, whichever is higher. Even worse, Bill C-63 provides a preventative criminal restraint on suspected future speech. So anyone with the Attorney General's consent can request that a judge order a 12-month recognizance to keep the peace if they have reasonable grounds to suspect that someone might commit hate speech in the future. If the Attorney General and the judge agree, then that person can be subject to major restrictions on liberty, like having to give a bodily sample, refraining from drugs and alcohol, and being required to wear an ankle monitor. And if they refuse, they can be imprisoned. So basically, the mechanism that the Liberals have set up will allow for peace bonds, including house arrest, to be sworn out against individuals who may, someone believes, break a hate speech law at some point in the future. This is all pretty wild. And I think there are major, major constitutional problems with this legislation. So we at the Canadian Constitution Foundation are encouraging people to write to their members of parliament about the problems with this bill. If you want to share your concerns, you can visit ccf.ca/fixc63. You know, it is just so frustrating to me that this issue is being lumped in with penalties for sexual abuse. I think that if the Trudeau government really actually cared about the issue of sexual abuse, they wouldn't pin these completely unrelated things together, especially given that the hate speech proposals are so constitutionally vulnerable. I don't want greater protections for children to be somehow struck down because they're tied to an unconstitutional hate speech, piece of hate speech legislation. So if you share these concerns, please write to your member of parliament. We have a whole form set up at the ccf.ca/fixc63. We aren't asking for changes to the provisions of the bill that deal with child sexual abuse. We just think that the law needs to be overhauled so that the parts that violate freedom of expression are removed from this piece of legislation. And we have a whole form where you can find your MP and contact him or her directly. So I want to know what you think is the most concerning part of this piece of proposed legislation? Is it the civil remedy? Is it the preemptive restraint on speech? Is it the very notion of creating a statutory definition of hate speech? Leave a comment below and tell me what you think the biggest problem is. I really want to know what you think. Okay, that's all for this update. Thanks for watching, and let's keep fighting for freedom in Canada.